Father, we know that you're here today. We thank you that you're here in our midst. And as we've received your presence, as we've received your healing power released in us, Lord, now we receive the word, the engrafted word, which is able to save us, to build us up, to give us an inheritance in you, to cause us to inherit, to cause us to walk in all that you've provided through your cross and through your son, Jesus. Holy Spirit, now unleash your anointing upon the hearers. Unleash your anointing upon those who hear the word, that we may bear fruit 30, 60, and 100 fold from the living word of God today, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Do you receive it?
Amen.
This word will bear fruit in your life. Turn to Acts chapter 20. Acts chapter 20. Hey, listen. Those of you that received prayer this morning, it's oftentimes, as it was in Tammy's case last week, oftentimes you come up, you get prayer, you feel nothing. That's okay. You don't go by your feelings, you go by the word of God. The word said, Jesus said, when you pray, believe that you receive it and you shall have it. When do you believe? When you pray. When do you receive it? Ye shall have it. Ye shall means the door is open time-wise. We live in a world that's cursed with time. I love watches, but I don't like time, honestly. I don't like being restricted. I'm kind of like Captain Hook on Hook, you know? He hated the sound. Actually, he hated the sound of watches. I don't like time restraints. And that's what makes me a musician, because musicians, when they play an instrument, they can play fast, slow. They can get out of time with the metronome, right, Tammy? They can get out. They're not supposed to when they're playing in front of these guys, because they're music teachers. But they can play fast, slow. But I heard a guy say one time, he said, actually, when you're seated at the piano, you, in a sense, you are in charge of time. And that's really true. You can play slow, fast. You are in charge of kind of that sense of time. I don't like time constraints. I like watches, but I don't like time constraints. But I say that to say this. We live in the world that is limited by time. God lives in eternity right now. So when you get prayer, you receive it. You believe you receive it now, the healing will manifest. Jesus said, we lay hands on the sick, they shall recover. Amen? So put your faith there in his word, not what you feel by the time you get back to your seat. You may not feel a thing, Debbie. Or you may. We've had some people that have felt some great things up here. Amen? And God's touched them immediately. But it's not always immediate. And if it doesn't come immediate, don't be discouraged, is what I'm trying to say. Just receive it the minute you're prayed for, and you'll have it. Amen. Well, that's not the message, but someone needs to hear it. Acts chapter 20. Now, we've been talking about the prodigal son. We said this, that we've been building on this series. So I encourage you, don't miss the next couple weeks until we finish this series. Then take a breather if you need to. No, I'm not encouraging you to skip church, but don't miss the next week or two, because we're going to wrap up, I believe, this series on inheritance. But we've been talking about sonship. We use the story that Jesus told of the prodigal son, where it says that the father bestowed on the prodigal is the returning son who came back to the farm, okay? And it said, the father said, quick, bring the best robe, put it on him, put sandals on his feet, put a ring on his hand. We said the robe represents the dignity, or in a spiritual sense, it could represent righteousness, because the Bible talks of a robe of righteousness. It puts you in right standing. In other words, he was no longer this prodigal, runaway, shame to the family boy. He is now back in right standing as a son, a family member. And we said the shoes represented, of course, the gospel of peace is described in Ephesians 6 as the shoes of peace, right? So we know shoes kind of represent peace or right standing. They mean a sure footing. Everything is good with dad now that I've got my shoes on. And it also distinguishes between a son and a slave, because slaves didn't wear shoes. Historically, slaves were always kept barefooted to put them at a disadvantage as far as being able to get away and whatnot. But a son wears shoes in the house. And we said the shoes represent peace. And then we said the ring represented the ability to transact. It's like the Visa card. The father restored the ability for the son to transact. And Jesus said, ask that you may receive, that your joy may be full. So he said it represents, in a sense, the joy, the ability to transact, to operate in the kingdom, to operate in the family business. The ring represented that joy. So righteousness, peace, and joy. It's the kingdom of God. Amen? And all three of those items, the robe, the shoes, and the ring, they represent Jesus. They represent Jesus. So when God brings us into right standing, he puts on us his robe. His robe is Jesus. It's Jesus' righteousness. Amen? The shoes of peace mean we're in right standing with God. We can have peace with God as our Father through Jesus. And we can boldly have the ring. We can boldly say, Father, I'm asking for this, or I'm asking for that. Why? Because we know that we're in covenant. We know that he's given us the authority, and the son loves the father. And he said in that story, at the end of the story, he said to the older brother, he said, son, you're always with me,
and all that I have is yours. Remember that? Remember that phrase? All that I have is yours. Listen, children of God, all that's in the kingdom is yours.
Amen.
It's a slow wave of shouting me down, but it's true. All that's in the kingdom is yours.
Amen.
Those that say amen, get it, and we'll have it. Acts 20:32. Well, this is what I'm going to do. Today, the focus of today's message is this, the inheritance. The inheritance. We've talked about sonship, crying out to Abba. Now we're going to talk about the inheritance itself. Acts 20:32 says this. Now I commit you to God. This is Paul speaking to the church. I commit you to God and to the word of his grace. Hope you'll underline that word right there, grace. That's so powerful. What is grace? Grace in the Bible, in the New Testament, means that which is given. That which is freely given. Paul says, I'm commending you to God and to the message of all that's been freely given to you through Jesus. Grace. And that message, he's saying, can build you up and give you what? An inheritance. Yeah. An inheritance among all those who are sanctified. Okay, now this is not for lost people. They don't get it. You have to be a child of God to get it. Amen? If you're running out there playing in the pig pen like the prodigal son, you're not going to have access to it. That's why he got so hungry. Because he was out in the world. He was separated from the Father's table. But for the children, amen, for those who are being sanctified, Paul says, I commend you to the word of to God himself and to the word of his grace, the message of his grace. And it is able to do what? Read that again. Build you up. That means encourage you. Build your life and give you an inheritance. Amen. When you hear all that Jesus has provided for you, it has the power to literally push you into your inheritance. I'm believing by faith today that in the very hearing of this message, you will be nudged into your inheritance as sons of God. Did you know the Word of God has that power? As you sit under the Word, it's not just your ability to go out and do something in response to the Word, but the Word itself is so powerful. The seed itself is so powerful, Brother Ross. When it gets in your spirit, it has the power to produce what it was talking about. And so when I even just declare in this first verse, Acts 20:32, the Word of God, the message of His grace, has the ability to build you up and give you an inheritance. The Holy Spirit is giving some people an inheritance today. Some of you in here say, Scott, I don't know why I was born. I think it was Mark Twain that said the two happiest days of man's life are the day he was born and the day he discovers why. Why he's here. The day he was born, the day he discovers why he's here. Some of you are discovered today in the hearing of faith, the Holy Spirit's going to reveal to you, why am I here? What is my inheritance? Did you know each one of you have an inheritance in the Lord? You do. It's true. You say, what on earth are you talking about? I'm getting some stares right now. It's okay. That's why I'm preaching it to you. I'm going to declare to you what's yours, what's rightfully yours. Jesus said this in John 3:3. He said to Nicodemus, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. You can't even see it. You can't see the palace. You can't see the door. But Jesus said, let's take that verse and flip it in the positive. I like to take negative verses in the Bible and flip them. For example, James said, let not that man think he shall receive anything from the Lord, the man who is double-minded. I confess almost daily. I try to make it my daily confession. I'm single-minded, stable in all my ways. Because James said, the double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. So I confess that over myself daily. I'm single-minded, stable in all my ways. Well, Jesus said to Nicodemus, except you be born again, you cannot even see the kingdom of God. So I'll stand up and say, hey, I'm born again. I can see. Get it? I can see the kingdom of God. 1 Corinthians 2:12, if you're taking notes. Hope you write these down and go back and read them today. We don't have time to look at all of them, but we've looked at this verse in recent weeks. The Holy Spirit, it says, is given to us that he might reveal to us what is freely given to us by God. That, you know, this is the verse right near the verse that says, eye has not seen, ear has not heard, right? But God has revealed them to us by his Spirit. Thus, you have not received the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is from God, that you may know the things that are freely given to you by God. Why is the Holy Spirit in your life? To reveal to you your inheritance. That's one of the reasons. You can't even see it till you're born again. Well, now that you're born again, open your eyes. The Holy Spirit will reveal it to you. He'll show you why you got born into this kingdom. You know, you got born again not just because God loves you, not just because he wants to keep you out of hell. He's got a purpose for you. As a new created spirit, forget all the past. Forget
You may have been born in a cobbler family, a family that works on shoes. You may have been born in a carpenter family, a family that builds houses. It doesn't matter. When you got born again, your second birth, your destiny changed. Correct? Yes, okay. Bunny heard me. Thanks. Your destiny changed. When I was growing up, my dad was a computer programmer. He got in the computer business back when, in the early days. And, it was just kind of logical that when I finished high school, his plan for me was setting aside money for college so I could go and study computer programming. Well, the anointing just started messing with that when I got to be a teenager. Man, God just started messing with me. And just redirected my life into the ministry, redirected my life into music ministry and Bible school and all kinds of great things, meeting my one wonderful wife. And just my whole life shifted gears. I didn't go to computer school. Why? Because I'm born again. And when I got born into this heavenly kingdom, I got born into a new destiny. Amen. Not that college is bad, not that computers are bad, but God said, I've got this for you. You're my son, and I trump your dad's wishes, okay? No disrespect to my earthly father. He's a great man. Provide well for me. But God said, this is the path I have for you. In other words, I follow my new DNA, my new father's destiny for my life. Jesus said this in Luke 22:29. He said, I am conferring on you a kingdom. Boy, that's some heady talk right there. What if you were talking to somebody in the public square? You were, just say you were leaving a restaurant, you're getting ready to pay your bill, or you're waiting for your family, they're coming out of the restroom or whatever, you're standing out on the porch and you're just talking to some stranger there on the front porch. What if he turned to you and said, I'm conferring on you a kingdom? I mean, that's some serious talk. Listen, these guys were fishermen, they were tax collectors, they came from all kinds of crazy backgrounds, and Jesus said, I'm calling you to rule and reign with me in my heavenly kingdom. Whoa. And the Bible reveals to us, and he said this, he said to his disciples, he said, you're going to be seated on thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel. Wow, that's some pretty, pretty heady stuff. But Jesus didn't just stop there. He is conferring on us a kingdom for you, for those that receive it. Listen, we're not just going to be saints that just get saved and die one day and go to heaven. Okay, a lot of Christians are fine with that. I'm not fine with that. And Jesus is okay. He's so patient. He's so loving. A person can go their whole lifetime and never really discover why they were called into the kingdom. And he loves them anyway.
Yes.
And when they die, they're going to go be with him in glory. And he's got wonderful rewards and riches and blessings for them there. But listen, that's not good enough for me. I hope it's not good enough for you. That's why I'm preaching this today. Yeah. We used to sing, I've got a mansion just over the hilltop. Listen, that's the far away, far off kind of mentality in Christianity that's been a plague. Jesus says, the kingdom is now. The kingdom wants to come now to our lives. Now. Like I said, you'll still die and go to heaven if you don't embrace this message I'm preaching today. But you'll miss out on a whole lot. And there's some people in this life that might drown and be lost at sea, figuratively speaking, because you or I didn't fulfill our purpose in the kingdom. It's important that we fulfill what he's given us to do.
Amen.
If he says, I've conferred on you a kingdom, we better find out what that's about and get on with it. Amen? And listen, it's a lifelong thing. You can't say, well, I served the Lord for 10 years in this ministry or that capacity, and I'm done. And now I'm working at McDonald's. No. If you're born again, you have a lifelong destiny in Jesus. You have a kingdom purpose for the rest of your life, to the end, if you'll receive it.
Amen.
If you'll embrace it. And it doesn't matter if you miss it, you get off track, you waste a couple years, you come back, you say, Jesus, here I am again. He'll pick you right back up. That's called redemption. He'll pick up right where he left off, and he'll get you back on track, serving him, following him, and making an impact in this world. How many of you know we're here to shatter the works of darkness? Feeling the Spirit to preach on me this morning. Joshua chapter 5. We better stay moving along here. Some of you got roast in the oven. I might burn it if I give into the Spirit to preach too much. Joshua chapter 5. We're going to look at the nature of this kingdom. I want to read just real quickly some scriptures. We're going to turn to several scriptures really fast. So this is kind of Bible drill time. Have your fingers ready to flip through the pages. Joshua chapter 5. Real quick,
Joshua chapter 5, verse 14. Oh, we'll better pick up from verse 13 so we get the context. Now when Joshua was near Jericho, he looked up and saw a man. Just as Joshua getting ready to go in and destroy Jericho, the night before, it says he looked up and saw a man standing in front of him with a drawn sword in his hand. It caught his attention. Joshua went up to him and asked, "Are you for us or for them, for our enemies?" And here was the reply, "Neither," he replied, "but as commander of the army of the Lord, I have now come." Then Joshua fell face down to the ground in reverence. Okay, let's stop right there. I want you to see this. The nature of God's kingdom, this angel that appeared to Joshua said this, "Neither." In other words, Joshua said, "Which side are you on? Are you on their side or are you on our side?" And he said, "Neither." In other words, I didn't come here to pick sides. I didn't come here to take sides. I came here to take over. And that's the nature of God's kingdom. God's kingdom is not about this person versus this person or this people group versus this people group. God's here to take over. That's the nature of the kingdom of heaven. That's the nature of your inheritance. The authority that you walk in, as you start to walk in your authority as a son and walk in your inheritance, you will find you'll be walking in the kingdom authority that pushes aside all other authority. When you follow the king, of course. That's a given. And it's a nature that says, "I'm not here to take sides, I'm here to take over." And listen, you know, so many times you get into a clash in a relationship with somebody, and it's easy to walk away and go, "Well, this and this was their fault," and that person just is on the other side saying, "Well, this and this is their fault." God takes all hearts into account. So when his kingdom comes, just know this, God always, the kingdom of heaven always executes right in spite of whose sides, but yet God considers both sides. Did you know that? Did you know if somebody hurts you or wounds you in life, in a relationship, and you say, "I have a right to be angry. I was right. They were wrong." Did you know God's looking at their heart too? The kingdom of heaven takes their heart into account. And from their perspective, God sees and appreciates why they did the wrong that you perceive as the wrong. That's just a little aside. But I want you to see here, God does not take sides. He takes over. Daniel chapter 2. Daniel 2. Come with me real quick. Daniel chapter 2. Fast forward almost to the New Testament. Daniel chapter 2, verse 34. Daniel 2 and verse 34 says this. Daniel is describing a dream that King Nebuchadnezzar had, and he's interpreting this dream for the king. And it says this in verse 34 of Daniel 2. "While you were watching, O king, a rock was cut out, but not by human hands." Who would you suppose that is symbolic of? Jesus. Jesus was not from earthly descent. "It struck the statue on its feet." Why would you strike a statue? Why would you strike a soldier, an enemy, on its feet? To knock him off its feet. Okay, amen? "And its feet of iron and clay, and smashed them. Then the iron, the clay, the bronze, the silver, the gold were broken to pieces at the same time and became like chaff on a threshing floor in the summer. The wind swept them away without leaving a trace. But the rock that struck the statue became a huge mountain and filled the whole earth." Can you say amen? Amen. What is that symbolic of? The kingdom of heaven through Jesus. Jesus came. He brought the kingdom of heaven. He said, "The kingdom of heaven is here." That was part of his message. He declared it over and over as he walked through Israel. He declared, "The kingdom of heaven is here." And that kingdom became a great mountain, Daniel says, and it filled the whole earth. Now we look today and we go, man, Christianity's all over the earth. The message has gotten around the whole globe. It's Jesus. Amen. Now look down in verse 44. In the time of those kings, the God of heaven will set up a kingdom that will never be destroyed, nor will it be left to another people. It will crush all those kingdoms. I hope you underline that. That's really good. The kingdom of heaven brings every other kingdom in the earth under its control. Amen? It's not here to be intimidated. And it brings them to an end, but it will itself endure forever. Listen, the kingdom of heaven that you and I are a part of is here forever. We shared this when we shared a month or two back. We taught on the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Do you remember? And we said that, isn't it funny that Jesus told his disciples, wait on the promise of the Father. And here's where I want you to wait. Jerusalem. Go right back to the place, the very town, the very people who put me up on a cross. That's where I'm going to begin my kingdom. Right there. I'm going to pour my spirit out in the midst of Jerusalem. In other words, God's saying, ain't scared. You seen that bumper sticker? Ain't scared. All right. God ain't scared. He went right back into the dragon's jaws and poured himself out and said,
from here out, my kingdom's starting. And just like Daniel said, that kingdom is going to grow and grow and grow, and it will crush all other kingdoms. The nature of the kingdom of heaven is to take over, not take sides. The kingdom of heaven is here to take over. Amen? And everywhere the kingdom goes, poverty leaves. Sickness leaves. Demonic oppression leaves. Amen? Confusion leaves. And knowledge comes. Wisdom comes. Amen? People's lives are improved. Why? Because it's a kingdom that comes to bless. It's a kingdom that comes to lift. It's a kingdom that comes to give life to people. That's the kingdom of heaven. That's what we're talking about. We're not talking about, you know, Christians getting in government and taking over the world. No. It's not about political power at all. It's a kingdom that comes through Jesus and through his servants that lifts people out of their grave. Amen? Don't be confused. That's what we're talking about. Hallelujah. Real quick verse, Matthew chapter 21. Flip over a couple books to the right. Matthew 21. This is a really obscure passage. You may or may not have ever seen this before in the Bible, but it's pretty powerful. Well, it's all powerful. It is all powerful. It's not just pretty powerful. It's an amazing verse, and it also describes the nature of the kingdom that you and I are a part of. Look at Matthew 21, verse 43. Matthew 21, verse 43. Are you there? Therefore, I tell you, he's talking. This is Jesus talking to his own people, the Jews, right in Jerusalem, in the midst of, or in Israel. I don't know if they were in the city of Jerusalem. I didn't catch it in context, but he's talking to the Jews. I know that. I tell you, the kingdom of God will be taken away from you and given to a people who will produce its fruit. Who's that? Gentiles. That happened in the book of Acts. The Gentiles were given the opportunity to step into the salvation that Jesus offered to his own people that they rejected. He said, it will be given to a people who will produce its fruit. Verse 44, he who falls on this stone, what stone? The kingdom of heaven, will be broken to pieces, but he on whom it falls will be crushed. Now, that latter part's not the group you want to be in. I know that sounds a little obscure. But what Jesus is saying is that if you'll humble yourself and fall upon the rock, fall upon the message of Jesus, the Messiah, and his kingdom, you'll be broken. In other words, it's a good breaking, okay? Your pride will be broken, your sin will be broken, but he on whom this kingdom falls, this stone falls, they'll be crushed. And Jesus said, I'm not here to take sides, I'm here to take over. My kingdom will endure. You know, there's going to come a day, the Bible says, that every knee shall bow, every tongue will confess. Every man, whether he does it in this life or not, will do it at the throne. He will bow his knee. And if he didn't do it in this life, unfortunately, he'll be crushed, is what Jesus is saying. This kingdom is here, and you must acknowledge its truth. You must humble yourself. And when you do, when you fall on that rock and you're broken, that's a good thing. You don't want that rock to fall on you and crush you, okay, in judgment. That's what he's talking about. So again, he says, humble yourself or you'll be humbled. Now, you say, where are you going with all this, Scott? I'm just trying to paint a picture of this idea of how powerful, how authoritative the kingdom of heaven is. And you're in that kingdom. You've been born again. You have the right to see into that kingdom. You have the right to participate as a son in that kingdom and to find out what your inheritance is so you can operate successfully in that kingdom. Amen? Now, we've said before that Satan offered the whole kingdoms of the world to Jesus in his temptation. You remember that? He took him up on a high mountain. And he said, all these kingdoms I'll give you if you'll fall down and worship me, because they are mine to give you. Notice Jesus didn't argue with him when he said that. He didn't stop and go, no, they're not, devil. They belong to Adam. Or, no, they're not, they're mine, or they're God's. He didn't say that. Why? Because that was a true statement. Adam had turned the leaves of this planet over to Satan. They were his to give. And that's why, otherwise it wouldn't have been a temptation. If it wasn't his to give, and Jesus knew it, it would not have been a temptation to Jesus. It was his to give. It was a shortcut to get what Jesus came to get, which was all of the kingdom. Jesus came to take over the world. Amen? To be Lord of the earth. But he wasn't going to shortcut it and do it the devil's way. He came and he followed the Father's plan, the cross. And now that kingdom of heaven, like Daniel prophesied, now it's taken over the whole earth. Now we don't see that with our natural eyes, do we? We see evil kings in leadership here. We see evil running amok here. We don't see it completely happening. We see it in men's hearts where people surrender, where they fall upon that stone, where they're broken, the kingdom of heaven comes. We don't see it filling the whole earth. We see it, you know, by faith filling the whole earth. But it's happening. It's happening. And one day it will manifest fully The kingdom will fill the entire earth. Amen? But it belongs to Jesus.
The Father gave it to him. Colossians 2:15, if you're taking notes. Well, we got to turn there. It's just too good. Colossians 2:15. Colossians 2:15. I want you to see this with your eyes. Colossians 2:15. And having disarmed the powers and authorities. Now that's a strong word there. We shouldn't just gloss over it. Colossians 2:15 in the NIV describes it this way. Jesus having disarmed the powers and authorities. Who is he talking about? Who had authority before the cross? Come on, this is open class. Thank you. Satan.
Satan was the authority here on this earth. We just said that because Adam signed the lease of this planet over to him. That's why there's so much evil on the earth. You know, the question always comes up, especially when you're heathen. Why is there so much evil in the world? Because Satan has been, before the cross, the god of this world. He's been the one with the authority. How many of you know when an evil king's in charge, it ain't a happy kingdom? Right? It's not a happy place. Proverbs says that. There's a proverb that says that. But when a righteous king is on the throne, the people rejoice. Well, I want to tell you, Jesus is now on the throne. It says right here in Colossians 2:15, he has disarmed or stripped. You could say he has totally stripped the powers and authorities, making a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross. Can you say amen? Hallelujah.
Amen.
And now we are those who are enforcing the lordship, the kingship of this planet, the newly established kingship, which is under Jesus' leadership. Can you say amen?
Amen.
And that's why when we step into a situation, if there's sickness, it has to go. If we're walking in our kingdom authority. If there's poverty, we preach the gospel, the good news. Jesus said, what was the first blessing he said would come as a result of the anointing? The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He's anointed me to preach good news to the poor.
Hallelujah.
Poverty is not good news.
That's right.
Amen.
Prosperity is good news.
Amen.
And it can come as people submit to the King. Amen?
Hallelujah.
How many of you can testify the Lord has lifted your life?
Amen.
You're better off now than before you met Jesus. Okay? In every area. All right? We're not a church just singularly focused on money. I know I bring up money because it's important to people. And we got to get it fixed. Listen, there'll come a day in here where we're all doing really, 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 really well. We won't have to talk about it so much. For now, we're going to keep preaching it. We're going to get you up. Don't you want to be up? It's where the Lord has called us to be. The good news to the poor is you don't have to be poor anymore. So we're called to enforce the lordship, the kingship of Jesus. What we just read in Colossians 2. You know, the people out there in the world that don't know Jesus, they don't know about this. They still think the devil's king. And they're still submitting to him. In fact, they actually think they're lord of their own life. They don't think they're serving the devil, but they are. If they don't know Jesus, that's exactly who they're serving. They're under his lordship still. See, it's an obsolete kingdom.
That's right.
You and I need to look through these glasses. I don't have glasses. Can I borrow your glasses? Just for a, what do they call that in children's church? Object lesson? Yeah. All right. We need to see through new glass. Whoa. We need to see. You like them? I don't either. We need to see through new glasses. See, when we step into our authority as believers, we look through new glasses and we go, this planet doesn't belong to him anymore. It belongs to Jesus. So wherever we go, we step in with that new vision. We step into an understanding that says, if there's sickness near me, I'll get it healed. If there's poverty, I'll talk to them about how Jesus can lift them out of poverty and into prosperity. And if there's confusion and darkness, listen, every innovator, every inventor, especially America has an amazing history. We have an amazing legacy as a country. Why? Because so many of our inventors gave glory to God, where credit is rightfully due.
That's right.
All wisdom comes, the Bible says, in him. Well, we're in chapter 2. Look back. We're right there, isn't it? Where is it, Terry? Treasures of wisdom and knowledge. 2:3. 2:3. In him are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Okay. We're kicking into high gear here. That evil thing called time is trying to put a restraint on me, and I could go for another 30 minutes, but I'm going to fast pace it here. Listen, Jesus makes you a better entrepreneur. Jesus makes you a better inventor. The wisdom of God makes you a better anything, whatever you are. I've shared with you before about this guitar manufacturer, McPherson. He got his ideas from Jesus. He got his archery ideas, a better way to make a bow, from Jesus. He had a dream, a vision from God in the night. He gives total credit to Jesus. Listen, Jesus lifts you. He's the in him are hidden all these treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Why do I say that? Because you and I are now a part of a kingdom that's separate from the kingdom of darkness, confusion, poverty, all the curse. We are in a kingdom of light. You remember when Israel was in Egypt, and right before, you remember when all the plagues were coming? And it says, you know, it was dark in Egypt. Remember that plague called darkness? You know, God brought, in the middle of the day, it just turns black. And the Egyptians couldn't see that where they were walking. But in Goshen, which was the town right next to Egypt, actually it was kind of like a suburb of Egypt, in Goshen there was light.
Yes.
You and I walk in light. Amen? We walk in light. And we need to see ourselves. We need to see this world. You operate differently. Listen, when you got born again, the feet under your ground changed.
Amen. It did.
You really changed. I mean, but all of a sudden, it's as if, let me put it this way, mineral rights. You ever heard of mineral rights?
Yes.
People can own land, but if they don't own the mineral rights and someone discovers oil on it, sorry for you. That's all that money could have come your way. Why? Because they didn't have mineral rights. Listen, I want to encourage you, saints. If you're anyone who's out there looking at property, buy the mineral rights with it. God may bless you one day with an oil well. Who knows? Because you're a kingdom child.
That's right.
But listen, when you and I got born again, this very earth took on a different relationship to us. You follow me?
Mm-hmm.
It's no accident you live where you live. It's no accident you own properties in Timbuktu from grandma or, you know,
yes,
third cousin removed who left you
this
plot of land out in East Texas. It could be God, because he knew you'd be born again and you'd use it for kingdom purpose.
Amen.
Amen.
That's what it's there for. The riches of this earth are for Jesus. Do you agree?
Amen.
So when you and I got born again, our relationship to this world changed. I'm no longer Scott Anderson, a would-be computer programmer. I'm a son of God. I'm a son. I have an inheritance in him. I have a calling. I have a purpose to fulfill, and I must carry it out. And therefore, even the wealth of this world, the gold that's under this ground, the oil that's deep down, what do we call it? Black gold, Texas tea, right? All right? That stuff's related to me now.
Amen.
Just like it was to Adam in the garden. Why was there no concern for Adam getting greedy in the garden? There was no sin.
That's right.
The Bible says there was great gold. There was wonderful gold in such and such place near the garden. God put it there for Adam because there was no sin. There was no temptation for greed. Listen, I'm a child of God. Greed shouldn't be a part of my life now. So I can, therefore, I can have relationship to wealth in this world in a different way than a heathen can.
Right. That's right.
And I should.
Yes.
And I do, in Jesus' name. He gives me wisdom. He gives us all wisdom to know how to steward those things. Matthew 20. Everything I'm saying today, I want to found on Scripture. I want you to walk out of here with an inheritance built up through the message of His grace. As I said, when you got born again, how many of you, let's take a survey here real quick while you turn to Matthew 28. How many of you are first generation that you know of in your family to be born again? Like your mom or your parents weren't saved. Okay, Al, just one. How many of you were born again and your parents were Christians also, but your grandparents weren't? Like it only went back one other generation. You and your parents. Raise your hand right. Let me see it. Come on. I'm not going to embarrass you. Okay. How many of you, your parents and your grandparents were saved? Wow. Oh, we got quite a bit of that. That's a pretty enduring legacy. How many of you, your parents and your grandparents were saved, but you know for sure your great-grandparent was like an axe murderer or something horrible? Anybody in here like that? Okay. But this is actually an unusual proportion, actually, because that's awesome. I didn't think there'd be that many that had parents and grandparents that were Christians. But, you know, up the line, if we go up a few steps from there, there might just be an axe murderer or somebody terrible in your family. Right? Here's the point. For generations, now the survey didn't go the way I thought, but I got to stick to the facts of the survey. It's the facts. Here's the point. The devil wreaks havoc generation after generation. His goal is to cut the blessing off. The minute you get born again, everything changes. And for Al, you were the only one that you said your parents weren't Christians, right? Okay, so you got a very unique thing. No matter where your parents walk, no matter where your grandparents walk, all of a sudden when you got born again, everything's different.
That's right.
The Rodriguez lineage is different from here forward in your line. And you need to see that. You're a son. Amen. You're an. Did you have some?
What? I am the first one that I know of that comes in the Holy Spirit.
Okay.
It's actually the power of the Holy Spirit working.
Okay, okay. Okay, so you're the first one that's tasted of the extra power. Gotcha, gotcha. All right, and yeah, if I took a different survey, there would probably be a lot of that. Okay, that your parents were saved, but they didn't walk in the fullness of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Okay, so that's a different, good point. Here's the point. It doesn't matter where it falls, but God is looking for the generation that will say, I'll take it.
Amen.
Will you take your inheritance?
Amen.
As I said, you'll still go to heaven if you don't. But God is looking for a few good men. And ladies, those that will step into their inheritance as sons. You can have the robe, you can have the shoes, and never use the ring. Huh?
That's right.
You have an inheritance. You have a right as a son and a child of God to find out. Now let me say this real quick. Man, I don't want this to be a two-part message, but it's feeling that way. I don't like that. We're on page 2 of 6. You got time? I'm just teasing. Oh, mercy. My goodness. All right, we'll just make it part 2. Okay, you're a son. You have an inheritance. And if you come back next week, you're going to hear more about that inheritance. Let me close with this verse. Where are we? Matthew 28? Matthew 28. Blessed are the short-winded, they'll be heard again. Matthew 28:18. Jesus came to them and said, you can fill the blank. First word of that sentence, the quote,
all.
Jesus came to them and said,
all.
All authority. In heaven, now we'd expect that. You know, when we think about God and godly things, we can picture God reigning on his throne in heaven. That's acceptable. But what does he say? In heaven and on earth. Listen, saints, there's been a change. There's a new sheriff in town. His name is Jesus. But how many of you know he's not here physically? He left us here to do the work, to enforce what is his kingdom. What do we mean by kingdom? His wishes. What is it? You know, a kingdom is an expression of the king's wishes. That's why I say when a good king's on the throne, happy kingdom. Bad king's on the throne, a lot of sad subjects. Jesus is on the throne, and he enforces his wishes, his desires. What are his desires? Well, you get in this book and you'll find out. This is the king's edict, if you will. And Jesus is here to enforce through us, through the church. The Bible says in Ephesians, to him be glory through the church. Generation after generation, forever, amen. Listen, we don't know when Jesus is coming back. You understand this general idea that when he comes back, to be back for good, then we'll see all this, like, with our eyes, we'll see it forever. Like, there'll be, like, no question about it, and it will be, like, manifested completely. Right?
Amen.
In other words, all the evil presidents, all the evil leaders throughout the world, they'll be off their throne, toppled, and he'll be king on earth. We know that day is coming. But until then, you and I are called to enforce his rule. He said, all authority in heaven and on earth is given to me. Let me finish the sentence. Therefore, go. Go. Go and do what? Start an orphanage. Preach to your neighbor. Build a business that can glorify God, treats its employees right, and tithes out to the kingdom, promoting the gospel of Jesus Christ so this message just multiplies. Therefore, you go. He's saying, I've made you a son. I am the king. You're my child. You're my son. I've got all authority on earth. Now you take it. That's a good leader. A good leader passes the baton and he goes. That's what we call proper delegation, right? Jesus said, you take it. You're the church. And he left. He went to heaven. The nerve of him to do that. But he's looking now for the church to enforce what is his kingdom, his wishes, his edict in the earth. Health, lifting people, lifting humanity, amen, providing for needs. That's the kingdom on earth. And you're called to inherit or be a part of that. Your inheritance, like I said, it may be, God may have you in a company. He may want you to own that company one day. So you need to look through new glasses. When Abraham walked the earth, we were going to get to this verse, but it's probably on about page 4 of my notes. When Abraham walked the earth, the Bible says in Hebrews that he was a stranger. He was in a strange country. And that word in the Greek, that word strange, means it belonged to another. It belonged to another. It had another person's name on the deed. And yet God said, I'm giving it to you.
Hallelujah.
You know, you may be in a company right now. You've been faithfully serving. God's promoted you. He's exalted you 20, 30 years, whatever it's been. And God may have your name written over that company. Who knows? Or maybe not. Everybody in here has a different calling, but you're all called to inherit the kingdom of heaven reserved for you. Oh, man, there's so much more notes for next week. It's going to be a great service. Don't miss next Sunday. There's so much more to say. Won't you stand with me?